Let's rebound if we need to. It works. Works like a charm every time. And we are going to be back in Jude right now. So I presume you would know to dig that out. We will be at verse 21. I'll work on that for a while. And I got here. Yeah, I won't get that done. Okay. Since this is one sentence, we'll read back with verse 20. But you, beloved, in the midst of the attack against these Christians, with this insidious evil types who had insinuated themselves into their lives through their agape feasts, festivals, he tells them, building yourselves up on your most holy, that's one word, a superlative of hagias, faith. That's Bible doctrine. That's the only way you can survive. Keep going. You build yourself up. This is done through verse by verse, book by book, doctrine by doctrine teaching. You build up like you build a building, one brick at a time, or some structure. You build yourself up by hearing these things. Some things will be new, some things will be repeated. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Again, emphasizing being in fellowship and in sync with the Holy Spirit so that your prayers are effectual and don't miss the mark. All right. Verse 21, maintaining the filling of the Spirit, and phase 3, hope. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep. Aorist imperative. Keep yourselves in locative, the preposition locative, agape, the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Waiting anxiously. Present deponent. Pros decomai. Maybe you have waited anxiously for something that you knew was in the offing. Could be any number of things. Waiting anxiously for the mercy, Elias. We'll use the other word in the grace lexicon, the word mercy. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to, preposition eis, to life eternal. One. The centerpiece to verses 20 and 21 is the finite aorist imperative, keep or preserve yourselves in the love of God. This theme, by the way, was taught in John's epistles. That you can't stay in the love of God and reject doctrine. The two go hand in hand. You have to be in sync with teaching to keep yourself in the love of God. Otherwise, it's not real love. It's not the love of God. All the other imperative participles, building yourselves up, praying, waiting anxiously, are part of the support cast. The centerpiece, keep yourselves in the love of God. As long as believers are truly keeping themselves in the love of God, the reality of the three participles will be operational. They'll fall in place. Those who are genuinely in fellowship act and conduct themselves in a certain way. They have a certain attitude towards God and the teaching. If that's broken, then they did not keep themselves in the love of God. You cannot love God and reject His directive will. It's not possible. It's just emotional flotsam and jetsam thrown up by people. They can talk about the love of God all day long, but they're not keeping themselves in it because, one, they don't apply the rebound technique. Two, they're not under the right kind of teaching that's taking them up the path to maturity. It's that simple. It's not complicated. The aorist imperative is like the hub to the spokes of a wheel. You can get the picture in this verse. The centerpiece is keeping yourselves in the love of God. Staying positive, staying in fellowship, keeping yourself exposed to teaching. Hence the importance of the command to keep oneself in the love of God. This command has to do with staying in fellowship, maintaining that day in and day out, or under the control of God the Holy Spirit who indwells the believer. God, who is love, indwells us in the person of the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He indwells every believer. When you're in fellowship, you're walking by the Spirit, etc. When you're out, you are grieving or quenching the Spirit, because of the doctrine of the two rulers of life. At any moment, I'm being either ruled by my sin nature, it's calling the shots and I'm following it, or I am following the dictates of the doctrine under the ministry of the Holy Spirit that I have learned. We could use any number of sins as an example, but a commonplace sin today is fear and worry. A lot of people are worried. A lot of people are fearful as they see things developing and spinning kind of out of control. And they get worked up about this, get anxious. When you're like that, you are not in the love of God. And we are a lot more than we should be, but this is what happens. You switch back when you decide to get in what I call your right mind. Your right mind. Your faith resting things, putting things in God's hands, faith resting this mess out there, and the way it's going. It's going to go down a certain path. You can pray all day, but it's going down a certain path. I would encourage you to pray. We'll see if we get results on it. That the amount of lying and corruption that we're being exposed to just through the mainstream media, things they will not report. It's not just like the old days. It's monumental. The lies and everything's being put out. And of course, it's related to this election and everything going on. And all this other stuff too. Pray, pray, pray that God will break this up and expose this before the public eye. Whatever it takes. And Trump's still president, so keep praying for him. Period. Christ controls history. We see all the games they're playing out there. All the election corruption, massive, to steal an election, to corrupt an election. It's become so obvious, it's so ridiculous. They don't even care anymore. It's like everybody will fall for this. Pray about that. Put that on your prayer list and pray that God will start breaking this up and expose these evildoers and high places, whoever, whatever they're up to. So people can at least have a chance to see it, maybe make some decisions that are appropriate. That you're out here listening to this, you need to get with sound doctrine in the last days. Apart from however things come out, you need to be, one, a believer. That's easy. That's a no-brainer. Everybody's about self-preservation and security and everything. Well, you're not secure if you're not in the plan of God through faith in Christ. So you get that right. Takes you little or no time. You just believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. If you've got that down, then you start rebounding and you start praying that God will get you under the truth. Because the rapture's right at the door. And we who have been at Maranatha Church, we can say, I'm waiting anxiously. I've never waited more anxiously for anything that I can think of offhand. And there are a lot of things we wait anxiously for. Someone waits anxiously for their wedding date. They wait anxiously for something that's coming to them in the mail, or whatever it is. When we are controlled by God the Holy Spirit, we are fulfilling the command to walk in love. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. That's maximum demonstration of love. He took our place on the cross, bore all of our iniquities, suffered through the 3 hours and everything before and the 3 hours and afterwards, so we could have eternal salvation. And he was perfect. And he did that for the imperfect, the corrupt, worldwide, everybody, for all time. An offering, a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Walk in the light of 1 John 1:7 and 2 John 6. Walk in the light. We just substitute words in. Light being a figure for the Spirit who is God and truth. This command is also parallel the one which says we are to abide in Christ. And it most definitely doesn't mean to stay saved. There's nothing you have to do to say stay saved. So, abiding in him is based on the familiar John 15 passage. I'll turn there. John 15. He uses an analogy, a metaphor, if you will, of something people would be familiar with, a grape vine. The main vine goes up, and off of it run branches which eventually produce grapes, clusters of grapes. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. This vine needs work done on it periodically, like pruning. Those that know that type of horticulture know exactly how to prune an individual vine growing up out of the ground. If you've ever seen them and any pictures of it, when they get through pruning it for the next season to come around, it's pretty radical. You never think anything's going to come of it. It looks about as bad as my willow tree over there. The top blown out of it. But that thing, never mind. That thing grows like mad. I've had an ice storm hit it before, and it comes right back. It's prolific. We'll see. Every branch in me. Okay, this is the analogy here. You're in Christ. You're in this circle. You believed, you were baptized into Christ. Entered into union with Christ. It's spiritual union. It's real. Just as much as you're in this room. Except you can leave this room, but you can't get out of there. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, that's you and I, as positive, growing believers over the years. What's he do to that branch? He prunes it. He cuts it back. That's suffering. That's adversity. Because out of adversity, if you go through it and come out of it, you will produce more fruit. Better fruit. Higher quality fruit. Adversity has a way of doing that for the positive believer. So don't react badly to adversity. It has its purpose. The vine dresser is the person that goes out and does that work. Puts each of us our own allotment of sufferings in time. Okay, so you are already clean. See, he breaks from the analogy. The analogy of the vine and the branches is dropped in verse 3. And goes back to just, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You're believers. Abide in me. That's being in fellowship. It's not to be confused with positional sanctification. And I in you. If you read down into the passage, you'll figure out what I in you is. You say, well, is that the indwelling of Christ? Yes, but it needs to be explained, defined specifically as to what it is. We know what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is. The indwelling of Christ, stay tuned. Abide in me and I in you. These are the two parts necessary for spiritual productivity. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. How many times have you heard me say that you cannot produce divine good? During those moments, you're out of fellowship. Even if what you're doing, you're supposed to be doing. Pick some chore. Pick anything that you're supposed to be doing. If you're out of fellowship, on that occasion, you forfeit SG3. And you're not producing divine good. You are producing human good. And all human good will somehow, be displayed at the Bema seat and burned up before our very eyes. And what's left will be the divine good, gold, silver, precious stones. As we all know, wood, hay, and stubble, once fire is attached to it, burns up. That's human good. So there's going to be something completely, to us at this time, completely mysterious about our appearance at the Bema seat. And so, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. That's the tandem here. A new believer, a believer new, has a little bit of, can abide in him. The more doctrine you get, then an I in him, to be defined in the verses to come. He bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. You can't do anything apart from this formula. It doesn't work. And I lived a portion of my Christian life completely oblivious to this before doctrine. In a small denominational church. Never, ever heard that explained. Ever. So I was just muddling through. I did good things. I did nice things, but I didn't know the rebound adjustment. Let's put the lights back on, and now we'll operate. Let's get ourselves in fellowship. So when you go to work tomorrow, you can do your job as unto the Lord, and not only get a salary, but also build up your SG3 account. If anyone does not abide in me, extreme example, completely blew this all off. Whole life as a Christian, not abiding in him. He is thrown away as a branch. That branch is no good. It's no good branch. Oh, it is good, but it isn't. It's not producing fruit. So what's it doing? And they gather them and cast them in the fire and they are burned. This is not loss of salvation as is taught by some dummies. Because it violates everything else. This is loss big time at the Bema seat. Her person lived their entire life as a Christian, went through all these different things, raised a family, did this, didn't know rebound, didn't use rebound. Well, they're going to get there and that's it. They have no reward. Rebound once in a blue moon, that isn't going to cut it. You just popped in fellowship for a second. Well, can't these people rebound what they did? Yes, but they got to turn away from it in some instances and get back under the teaching. That's the tandem. You can't just say, I got rebound. Okay, we'll see. But if the I in you factor is corrupted, I wouldn't want to tie myself to that idea. If you abide in me, that's one, and my words abide in you. What does that tell me? That tells me I in you is Bible doctrine in the soul. That's what it tells me. And that's the indwelling of Christ. The indwelling of Christ is to have the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine, in the inner man, in your human spirit, soul, so forth. That's what that is. So to say Christ is in you, that is Bible doctrine in you. He is the truth. But you have to learn Christ. As Paul said to the Galatians, I believe, you have not so learned the Christ. The Christ is also to put in your doctrine, the importance of doctrine, another synonym for Bible doctrine, Christ. There is the person of Christ, and there is the mind of Christ. We separate the two for purposes of analysis, but obviously they go together. You know, the fundy thing from the past, what would Jesus do? Well, in many cases, they don't have a clue what Jesus would do and what Jesus would think. In fact, they wouldn't even like Jesus if they ran into him. They'd espouse some stupidity, and he'd throw a verse, hammer him down with a verse. On the contrary, he would say. So the mind of Christ is the thinking of Christ, the viewpoint of Christ with regard to all the different areas that you can imagine. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What's that tell me? That tells me the real power of prayer comes from this combination of being in fellowship and having a massive amount of Bible doctrine in your soul. You're not going to pray for stupid stuff. For instance, you wouldn't pray that people get positive because that's volition. You can pray that God will bring positive volition our way. You can pray that the information gets out there, but you can't pray, make that person positive. That isn't going to work. Jesus didn't want Judas to be what he was. An example of a prayer that's goofy. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and also prove to be my disciples. That's how you prove to the external world that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, by divine good production. We have a lot of opportunities to do that in these times. We always have. It's just now things are ramped up. We're in where we're at. Stay alert. The things you can do and make applications towards, first, your royal family here. First and foremost, do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. They should be your priority. Look around you, as it were, see anything, anybody you can help, assist, encourage, physically, and any other way. So, moving on. In order to go from a state of carnality to a state of spirituality, the believer must apply 1 John 1:9, which we're as familiar with that as we are John 3:16 here at Maranatha. But it is under a conditional clause if we confess. Maybe yes, maybe no. And when we do, we pop back in fellowship. It may not last very long in a particular situation, but at least you rebounded. Then if you can maintain it long enough to do whatever you've got to do, suffer something, then you get reward. And we have the analogy from sports. If it isn't done in bounds, it doesn't count. Even if it's spectacular. He made a spectacular one-handed grab. Oops, his foot was on the line. See?
It's a difference. If you don't have rules, you don't have anything. It makes any sense. You got two potential rulers of life. You came into this world being ruled by the sin nature. Doesn't mean you're doing bad and awful, corrupt things every minute because you had a conscience and maybe you avoided certain things. It doesn't matter. When you got the Holy Spirit in you at salvation, you had a new potential ruler. How many times you have to? You need to get yourself in fellowship and deal with this. You might have that exhortation thrown at you someday. Yes, you do. Spirituality, the filling of the Holy Spirit, is an absolute and is strictly by grace. The difference between it and salvation is you can lose spirituality for however long, but not salvation. Jude's readers are enjoined to keep themselves in fellowship. You're in the midst of a big test. You're under attack by false teachers. You're watching other believers get caught up in this mess. You need to stay in the love of God. Stay where you're at. Don't deviate, regardless of what is going on around you. Don't make excuses for people. There are none. In other words, the phrase, the love of God, can be interpreted as either God's love for us or our love for Him. I take it as the former. But I had latter as probably in view. As God loves all humanity and all believers apart from their response, God's universal love. So I kind of waver on that a little bit. But either way. 50. In other words, God's love for believers is universal apart from their response. We'll pick this up Tuesday night. Let's get where we need to get to for the Lord's table. Observance.